How many fucks do I give? I said, how many fucks do I give? Zero, zero, none, zero, zero, not one.
I'm getting more annoyed. Hello. Hi. Hi, guys. Hi. Hi, everyone. This is a show more than you can chew. It's my podcast. I'm your host, Tiffany Moore. It's another episode, I know. I love this episode so much. This was a favorite from all of the old episodes that were taken down from the archives. I'm still sick a little bit. I'm getting more annoyed with these episodes, but for some reason they're getting more downloads than ever recently. So I figured I'd put out another little treat for you. Hopefully you liked the last vintage episode. So I'm still sick. It's been a bizarre sickness. I don't know what it is. I don't go to the doctor or anything like that. I just always know my body's gonna know what to do. And I always start out with a sore throat when I get sick. So I had a sore throat. I could feel the sore throat coming on first couple of days. And then the first day I felt really, really sick. It was like the whole left side of my face was the only thing that was bothered. Like my nose was my left nostril was just running like a faucet all day. And my left eye was tearing up. And it was so fucking weird because then the next day it was just my right side that was all fucked up. So the next day my right side, like the left side of my face felt fine. And then the right side of my face the next day was just like, my nose was like I've never seen so much liquid come out of my nose before. It's unbelievable. So today it feels even again. I feel the sickness is still a little bit in my body, but it's almost gone here. But it was just very bizarre how it just moved from like the left side. And then the next day was the right side. And now it's like completely moving out today. It feels like so. Whatever, but, so, I'm just going crazy, because I can't do anything, you just have to, like, sit around and be sick, so I was like, I'll put out another episode. This one's a little tough, sound-wise, especially the first, like, 5 minutes, because I had to do a lot of editing to try to get the music out completely, so, bear with me, it does get better towards after that first 5 minutes, but it's still a little rough. The original air date on this one was November, like, 2013, November 23rd, 2013, so this was a real, real juicy one from back in the day, a favorite among the listeners, so I wanted to put this one back out for sure. Pardon. So yeah, that's where we're at. We're going to put this episode out. Hope you guys like it. Hope you're enjoying the vintage episodes and hopefully get a new episode out next week for you. So yeah, that's going to do it. And enjoy the episode, guys. Bye. Dreamy. Dreamy, themey. It's my dreamy little themey song. 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 Dreaming, 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 dreaming in a themey song. Dreamy little themey song. Dreaming in a themey song. Dreaming.
hurt you? I told you to wait in the car. Why is there silver shit all over your face?
I was hanging out with those dudes in the parking lot.
Doing what? Giving RoboCop a blowjob?
Are you crying?
No. Do you still have that ecstasy?
All right, let the rave begin. What's up? This is More Than You Can Chew, my podcast. I'm Tiffany, your host. And this episode is all about ecstasy. I'm going to tell you stories about the years I used to do ecstasy, and I did a lot. Pink hearts, white pyramids, Europeans, Rolls Royces, green smiley faces, 8.5s, Star of David, pink flamingos, green clovers, white Caspers, and pure. These are just some of the types of ecstasy I used to do back in the day. Back in the day would be 7 years ago, perhaps. If you hear a psycho in the background, it's just my cat trying to destroy a box. It's not your mind playing tricks on you if you decided to take some ecstasy before listening to this episode. Let's get you familiar with some of the lingo, first of all, that I'm going to be using in this episode. If you're not a big etard like I was, some of the words were rolling, which means you were going to be on ecstasy that night. We're going to be rolling tonight. I'm rolling right now. I'm rolling my balls off right now. Those are some of the ways we would say it. I know the kids nowadays say things like Molly, which is pure MDMA. When I was doing it, I was in my early 20s and doing it upwards of 3 times a week when I was really into it. And you hear so many different stories, like they would tell you, there's just so many different kinds of ecstasy. You would always hear ecstasy tabs, if you've never seen them, they're little pretty colored pills, and they either have the symbol indent coming up from the top, like they would call it transformer heads, like it would pop up top. If that makes sense, in the symbol. If the symbol was printed down into the pill, that meant it was supposed to be a bad roll. I don't really know if that's true or not. I never really paid that much attention. I was always told the yellow, red, and pink pills were usually speed-based. Blue and purples were usually mescaline. And the dark, uglier colors were usually heroin-based. And I always just kind of deciphered clean ecstasy from dirty ecstasy. You could see the dirtier ecstasy actually had little brown spots in it, and you knew it had more heroin in it. And we called that dirty ecstasy because you would just almost kind of feel it. You kind of felt dirty on that roll. You just kind of felt like, well, I'll get into it. But then there's also pure MDMA, which I guess is Molly. That's what these kids are calling Molly today. I did pure once, and it's totally different, I think, than just regular ecstasy. But we'll get into all that. Just so you know, you're familiar with some of the terms I'm going to use in case you've never experienced ecstasy, if you've never, if you don't really know much about it. And Jesus Christ. Chill the fuck out! Alright. So, that's a little bit about what we're going to be getting into this episode. I hope you stick around. I've got some really funny stories. I've got some crazy stories for you. And I think we're going to have a really good time. Get your glow sticks and your popsicles. We're getting into it. This is More Than You Can Chew. Trying to find some of my old techno music that I would listen to. Because all you listen to when you're in Utard, like I was, is ecstasy or techno music all the time. And I'm cracking myself up listening to this, trying to find something I see decent now to put in here that people aren't going to want to shoot themselves. And I just remember, like, just let me set the scene. Okay, so I think I said in the intro it was like 7 years ago, but it was probably closer to 10, I want to say. I was in my early 20s. I was living in Bradenton, Florida. I moved down there with some friends of mine. And I worked at Pizza Hut. And I... these poor people. I just remember, because I had a group of people in Pizza Hut, some people that I work with, and we would have rolling parties together. So we all closed together. We all had the closing shift, and you were there till like 2 o'clock cleaning everything up, 2 a.m. And I just remember, once we locked the doors, we would put our techno CDs in, not rolling, not on any, besides just being high on marijuana. Put our techno CDs in and clean, and the people there who weren't on ecstasy or never did ecstasy had just had to endure this horrible techno music all the time. And it's just funny because now, or if you've ever talked to someone who's never listened to techno music, they're just, it all sounds exactly the same, it all sounds horrible. But like, when you're an e-tard and when you do ecstasy that much, and it's like you just seek out all types of techno music in house, and you can distinguish songs from each other, and it's just weird, like how you get into this, like it's just such a weird trying to distinguish songs from each other now. It's just like, how did I listen to this shit while I wasn't on drugs? Because when you're on ecstasy, techno music is the best music to listen to, because you can feel the way that it's created, the way that it's made, the noises and sounds that go throughout. It kind of takes you into the trip, it takes you into this trance, and it feels like it's going through your body, and it's actually, it's hard to explain, but it's the best music that you can listen to. So I lived in Pennsylvania most of my life, and I had tried ecstasy once, and Pennsylvania ecstasy was way different than the ecstasy that was in Florida. The Florida ecstasy was just really potent, really strong, and real ecstasy. I don't think, if you've ever tried ecstasy and it hasn't been mind-blowing amazing and you feel like you're in a different world, then it's probably not really that good of ecstasy. So I did ecstasy the first time down there, and I want to kind of, if you've never experienced it, the best way to describe it is, you just feel, you have this body high, and you almost kind of feel like there's this static all around you, and you feel fuzzy almost. You just feel fuzzy. And every step you take kind of feels like you're walking on marshmallows. And I'll get into some of the other signs and symptoms that come from being on ecstasy, but it's unbelievable. You can't put into words the feeling that takes over your body. And a lot of times, when you're on ecstasy, you start the trip like we would. My friends and I would set up these visuals on our computer and set up techno music, and you would have to set up the techno music. So it was all very calculated. It had to be a song that would slowly, we would call it trance, and it would slowly take you into the trip, and you would watch these visuals, and all of a sudden your eyes just feel like they're vibrating, and your teeth start chattering, and you just feel like chills and really hot at the same time, and you know that you're getting into the trip. And that's how we would start it, to kind of bring it out, because it took about, depending on the ecstasy, it took 20 to 30 to 40 minutes for it to get going. So you would always want to do something to kind of bring it out. Another thing I would always do is put my bare feet on the floor and start just sliding them around and sliding them back and forth really quick. And for some reason, the texture of the floor just on my bare feet would always bring me into my trip. And that was kind of a ritual I always did. So this may not be the case for everyone, but for me, most of the drugs that I've done in my life, I don't have a lot of self-control. I want to do them all the time. I want to experience as many things I can on the drugs as possible. And this certainly wasn't any different with ecstasy. Once I tried it, I was just immediately hooked. And just like any other drug, you know, you start off just taking one, and one would, when you're first starting, will last you 4 to 6 hours, and you peak about an hour and a half into it, into the roll, and you start coming down by hour 5, hour 6 usually. So I was doing that. I started off probably rolling maybe a couple times a month. And once you get into that kind of scene, you start seeking out other people who can find it for you. And it was actually fairly easy to find it in Florida once you found the right connections. Obviously, just like any other drug, a lot of times we got children's Tylenol or aspirin. And that was just such a downer, because you spend your whole week or weekend looking forward to this role, and you know, you finally get it, and it's like the worst part is waiting to do it and then waiting for it to kick in. That's just the hardest. It's just so hard to find the patience to just wait to finally, because you're just dying to do it. And so it was just such a downer when you would get it, and it was like, it was just bunk. It was just totally the wrong, it was Advil, or, you know, they put some kind of symbol on it, and it just wasn't ecstasy at all. And that was just so depressing, because it was always like some person you would find it from, and it was just like this shady dude who would just happen to have some on him or something, and you're just so desperate. So once I finally got to the right kind of connections, you start talking to people. I started talking to people that I work with. And that's how I kind of formed this work-based group of people that I would roll with. And I also had a second group of people that I would roll with, and eventually a third group of people that I would roll with. And I didn't want to introduce any of them to each other, because I wanted it to kind of be my little secret. I didn't want any of the groups to really know how much I was doing it. And that way, I always had some kind of connection exactly when I needed it. And so having three different groups that I could rely on. I also was really good at glow sticks. And basically all that was you would take like 4 different colored glow sticks, tie them onto shoelaces, and just do glow sticks for people all night, and they would just lose their fucking shit. Because when you're on ecstasy, everything visual is just enhanced by 5 million. So anything bright colored that's rotating quickly, just watching it takes you to a place where orgasms happen. They feel like they're going to happen. And that's the only way I know how to describe it. It's like it's just like a 4-hour long orgasm. And so I would go to these other groups, And if I did ecstasy, or if I did glow sticks for them all night, they would give me free ecstasy sometimes. So I would do that. And when I, so I'm just doing this more and more, and I'm like, eventually, you know, obviously one pill isn't enough anymore. So I'm taking two at a time, taking another one later in the night to keep that going, longer than 6 hours. I want that to go, you know, these groups I would do it with, you know, it was like, we would want to try to get at least 10 hours out of it. And you start building up to it really quickly, especially when you're doing it more than once a week. And I eventually started snorting them, which I really hated. I don't like snorting stuff at all, but I would do that because people would tell you, you know, it'll hit you faster and you'll get more out of it. I don't really think it made that much of a difference, but you're just kind of grasping for anything once you're so deep into it to get that. You're always just like any other drug that you're addicted to, you're just always chasing that first time kind of high, and you will never attain that with ecstasy when you're doing it as much as I would. And so your life begins to revolve around ecstasy. Every time you go to the store, if you see something shiny or something lights up and spins, you have to have that. You're like, oh my God, this is going to be a great rolling toy. And that's just how you start seeing things. That's how you start viewing things in your life. You start seeking out and spending money on these ridiculous toys that you can use to blow you up. And when I say blow you up when you're on ecstasy, that's what, doing these certain things will take you to that orgasm feeling. I don't think I was really having orgasms. It's just the only way I know how to convey to you that kind of pleasure that you're experiencing. So we would do things to blow ourselves up. And one thing that I remember vividly was most of the times I did it, I would be on the couch at some point with two Vicks inhalers in each nostril and just breathing the Vicks through my nostrils and out my nose. And Vicks is a great thing to have when you're on ecstasy. Anything kind of, menthol cigarettes, menthol flavored gum, anything like that just makes you feel like your body is made of ice in a really good way, if that makes sense. And a lot of this is going to be really hard to explain if you've never experienced it, because it's hard to convey the exact feelings that you're going through. But so I would be sitting like that on the couch for a while, just, and when you're doing that and you're peeking, I remember the visuals were so much more enhanced. And I remember one time sitting on the couch doing that, and I just saw this big, it almost looked like a huge earthworm going in and out of the walls in front of me, kind of burrowing in through the walls. It reminded me, if you've ever seen the movie Donnie Darko, that kind of like silvery liquid thing that he would see all the time. It kind of reminded me of like that. And then the worm would come through me. It would come like envelop me on the couch and then go back. And it was just the most amazing thing to see. It kind of made me feel like I was in a portal almost. And the other thing we would do with the Vicks inhalers is we would drill a hole in the bottom of them and take the Vicks container and put it in your mouth, and you would hold someone's eyes open and blow the Vicks into their eyes, which looking back now is just like, how the fuck did we do that? We did that all the time. For years, people were blowing Vicks, a burning sensation liquid thing into my eyes to blow me up while I was on ecstasy. And we did that constantly. I don't know how I still have such a great vision and how our eyes didn't get ruined from that. But that was something we would do all the time. And that was another thing that would just take you to the next level. And you would have to just kind of sit down and recover from that. Because it's the sensation was so unbelievable. And, we started, you start just like shopping for things. Like I said, you start shopping for toys. And one of the groups of friends and I eventually just got this whiteboard. And we would hang the whiteboard the night before we knew we were going to trip. And we would write down all the things we knew we wanted to do. Because once you're in the role, you kind of forget and you just lose sight. And you'll end up just brushing your hair for an hour and a half. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things you want to do once you get good at it. Once you know how you can handle it. And we would have this whiteboard that we would write just lists of things we had to remember. Popsicles, Kool-Aid, this thing we called sinking into the floor, which is where someone stands above you while you're laying on the ground and they take your arms and they start while you're kind of up on your lower back and they swing you back and forth really slowly and they eventually just start lowering you down really slowly and you think you're going to hit the ground way before you actually do. So when you do hit the ground, it feels like you're already in the middle of the floor. And that's a really cool thing to do on ecstasy. And another thing we tried was we bought this huge blow-up mattress. And we would fill it up before the beginning of the night. And then someone would lay on it and just slowly let the air out of it. And it felt like you were just sinking into the ground and sinking all the way down to the middle of the earth. And that was amazing too. And something I found, which was horrible thinking of these things, but I remember I was just sweating my ass off this one time and I went to plug the fan in and my finger got caught in one of the outlets, like where the prong is, and I shocked myself and I just had to kind of sit there because it blew me up so fucking hard. And I just sat there breathing so heavy. And I was just like, once I finally regained the being able to talk again, I was just like, you guys have to try this. Holy shit. You guys have to try this. You have to shock yourselves. It was like that. And that was just my new favorite thing to do, is shock myself. And I don't know how bad ecstasy is for you, but it's gotta be one of the reasons why I do some of the crazy fucking shit I do today, because it's just got to eat away parts of your brain. Those times that just so much abuse I did to my body is ridiculous. I remember one time me and two of my girlfriends were outside on a swing in Florida. We had this tree swing, and it was just like a bench, like a regular swing, and we were sitting on it. And we loved just our bare feet on the grass. And the grass in Florida is just really dry and itchy. And it doesn't feel like real grass because it's just so fucking hot out there. But any kind of texture just feels amazing. And you're so used to being in sand all the time in Florida because you're 5 minutes from the, we were 5 minutes from the beach. So we were always just used to being in sand, and there was just always sand everywhere in the place we lived in Florida. And my girlfriend was just digging her feet into this, what she thought was sand on the ground on the swing. And she was just breathing really heavy. And she was just, the sand feels amazing. The sand feels so good, and just blowing up. And, what ended up happening was there was just these little red fire ants crawling all up her leg, biting the shit out of her. And you don't realize pain when you're on ecstasy. Pain feels like pleasure. So she just felt amazing. And like the next morning just woke up with just tons of bites. She was actually in an anthill, rolling her feet around. I was also pushing one of my girlfriends on the swing. And she was laying down, and the back of her head was kind of like propped up on the arm of it. And I was pushing her, and it eventually started rotating a little bit. And she, bam, knocks her back of her head off the trunk of the tree so hard, I think she's got to be dead. She's got to be dead. She hit it so fucking hard. I was pushing her with such emphasis. And I was like, holy shit, this girl is dead. Like, this is the end of her. And she's just sitting there, just blowing up. And I'm like, are you alive? Can you breathe? Can you see? And she's just like, yeah, that was amazing. I mean, you don't know the damage you're doing because it feels amazing. It feels great. So you have no idea. I mean, it had to hurt like hell the next day, but at the moment, it forces you into this place of just sheer ecstasy. And there was another time we were gonna walk down to it was within walking distance if we were not fucked up, like literally 5 minutes to walk there. So we drop X that night and we decide we're gonna roll, and we're like, there's this little like fair happening down at the mall. We should go and we should ride the roller coaster and we should ride the swingy thingies and we should play games and all this shit. And we're just like so pumped up to go. It's all we had been planning for the whole week. We were so excited. And we start walking outside. And once you get outside, it's like everything is pitch black. But when you're on E, it's like everything is, it feels like a cartoon kind of. Not so much in the visual sense, but the feeling, it's like the colors are still so vibrant, even though, you know, it's pitch black outside. And the only way I can describe it for me anyway, was you could see the energy coming off of every living thing. The trees to me would just shine. They would light up and everything like that. I could see trees breathing. I remember we used to go and just put our hands on trees and feel them breathe, and the energy would just rush through your body. And you felt this connection to nature that was unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. So we decide we're going to walk down to this thing, and you get outside and it's just like, oh shit. Okay. We're just in a totally different, so outside of your comfort zone, because when you're in your house, you just feel this kind of safety net, and you're so out of it that once you get outside, it's this whole other dimension. It's this whole other world. Running into other people is so bizarre. They just seem like aliens to you. You know what I mean? Like, you just want to go up and touch their hair and touch their face and just see if they're real or if you're just imagining them for some reason. So we get about, I would say, half a block into our walk, and a car drives by with its headlights on, and we all just sit there and stop and stare at these headlights, and it's like a UFO coming in. It's just like, as it gets closer, it's just starting to make noise, and you're just enveloped by the light of the car headlights. And so we all stand there once the car passes for a minute just to kind of catch our breath and regain ourselves. And we all look at each other and we're like, fuck it, we're going back to the house, because there's no way, if we can't even handle a car driving by us, there's no way we're going to be able to ride a roller coaster or handle all the lights that are happening down there. It seemed like a good idea in theory, but it wasn't happening once we finally got outside. So we ran back to the fucking house, back to our safety net, and that's where we remained the rest of the night. Another time one of my groups of friends and I dropped ecstasy in a nightclub that was known for, it was called Ybor City, for any of you people out there in Tampa. What? Ybor City was a place you could go, and they had bars that you could drop ecstasy in. Nightclubs, and they would play techno, and they would have all of these lights there and stuff like that. And it was usually pretty easy to find ecstasy in these clubs, so we had heard. So we decided to go there for a weekend. We get a hotel down there and everything. So we drop this ecstasy in this nightclub, and that's probably the most horrible idea we've ever had, because there's just so many people and the music is so loud and there's just so many lights. Like, I just kept escaping to the bathroom just to have some kind of sanity. And we just decided it was too much. It was just too much to handle. Get the fuck out of there. So my buddy was driving. He didn't take any ecstasy. He was totally sober. And riding in the car is probably the most fun thing I've ever done on ecstasy besides swimming. Riding in the car, putting your head out the window, it's just such a freeing feeling being in something that's moving without you moving your legs, if that makes sense, with you being immobile. That's such an amazing experience. And speaking of bathrooms, one of my favorite things to do when I was on ecstasy was escape to the bathroom. We would always have, wherever I was at, whatever house I was at, it was always the same setup. Lights off, you would have glow sticks to find your way through the house, to find your toys, and you would go to the bathroom and turn the light on, and it was just like, you just, the feeling of light, the feeling, you couldn't do it for the whole night, because it's just weird to see people on ecstasy. It's weird. It doesn't make sense. But when you're fucked up on ecstasy, it's almost just too weird to be able to see someone else with the lights on who's fucked up too, because you're looking at them like, Jesus Christ, your pupils are huge and you look like you can't even move your mouth the right way. And you just look so fucked up that it freaks you out a little bit. It's like, it's just too much to handle to actually see someone like that. So you would keep the lights off all the time. But when you go to the bathroom, you could turn the light on and just look at yourself in the mirror. And it was so much fun because I would just be like, my pupils are the size of my entire eyeballs. And like, you felt this fuzziness, like, and you could almost just see through yourself in the mirror. And that was one of my favorite things to do. And I loved just sitting there on the tub in the bathroom with the light on. And I would just go around to every little thing in the bathroom, like the soap, the loofah. And I would just become friends with all these things in the bathroom. They were just my bathroom buddies. And like everything, you just felt this connection to every single thing. Everything, the dirt on the floor, every single thing you just felt connected to. And that was so fun. It's really fun to do ecstasy with a bunch of people because you can feel that all of your love comes together. And you just feel this connection, especially if it's with people you trust and people you love. And it's a huge difference than just rolling with people that you don't really know that well and you kind of feel weird about. It's such a huge difference when you're in a place where you have absolute trust in everyone. You know everything is going to be okay. And you just find this bond that's unlike anything you'll ever experience in your life. And that's how you feel about every single thing, especially things like, I said, like nature. But I would just go into the bathroom and like, it was just weird. I would just sit there and like talk to these things without actually talking, like just talking to them through my mind. A loofah, talking to it, the water dripping out of the bathtub, talking to it, saying things to it with my mind. And that was one of my favorite things to do, is just feel that connection. And I know that sounds totally crazy, but there was also, when I got my own apartment in Florida, I was rolling there one night and I noticed this flaw all of a sudden, because you'll notice things on ecstasy you've never noticed before in your house. And I was kind of fresh into this apartment. I still was kind of uncomfortable. I didn't really know everything about it. And I remember going to the bathroom and I saw this flaw in the wall that looked like, the only way I can remember it was a grandma turtle. It looked like the face of a turtle and it was wearing a hat with a flower on the top. And I called her Grandma Turtle and she gave me all this great advice. I was in a new relationship. I had just moved in with this guy and I was just feeling uncomfortable. And this flaw in the wall just, I went in there and I talked to it and it just made me feel so much better. And I don't know what that's about, but I would constantly just go back in there through the night, and it made me feel better. It just made me feel good to have something in there, because you just, you never question that you're talking to a loofah. You never question that you're talking to a flaw in the wall. It just seems so natural to you, and it feels so good to have that connection. You're just looking for anything to feel that warmth with. And that was one of the things that just made me feel really comfortable in that apartment. I would go in and talk to my grandma turtle. Another great thing to do was with one of my groups of friends was I just loved being outside, but it was scary because you didn't want anyone to see you. You didn't want to do something stupid. You didn't want anyone to see you hugging a tree in the middle of the night in your bare feet and singing to it. You know, we had neighbors and we had to kind of like not really put ourselves out there that much. So one of my favorite things to do in Florida, it's always warm outside and you just always want to be warm because you kind of have chills constantly through the whole roll. So I would go outside and I would go into my car, turn it on and put the techno music on. And one of my favorite songs, which I can't find anywhere now, I've looked for, it's a techno song and the lyrics are "Music is pulsing through you." And you would put it on and you would see the music come out through the vents like bubbles. That's the only way I can think of to describe it. I would be sitting in there and I would have my arm on the window. The window was down and it would just be on the top of the door. And I could feel heat rising from somewhere in there, and I would feel the heat coming out of the vents, even though only the battery was on. The car wasn't on all the way. And I would open my eyes and it would look like the car was filled with bubbles. And you could feel, just like the lyrics would say, the music was pulsing through me. It would go just through my eyeballs and come down through my feet, and I would breathe the music out. And it was such a connection and such a oneness with this music. And it would take you through all these different stories in your life that you've been through, and all these memories, and just... Because on ecstasy, at least for me, I only tripped maybe a handful of times. I would see visuals. I remember one time we were outside in the backyard of one of my friend's house. And I remember just looking over to my neighbor's house and there was a gate up. It was one of those like wire gates you could see through. And I saw all these army men on the other side and they were all hunched down and they were just watching us, like full fatigue army dudes all gathered on the other side of by my neighbor's house behind this fence, like just sitting there watching us. And I was like, oh shit. And I told them, I was like, oh my God, they're watching us. We have to go in. And I would go to the house and look out the window and I would see the army guys. So my buddy comes in from us, and this was really weird. My buddy comes in, doesn't hear us say anything about it. He comes in from wherever he was and he's like, dude, there's army men outside watching us. So that was trippy as fuck because he didn't know anything about that. He didn't know that I had said that. He didn't know, he had no idea. He was off doing his own thing. And he looked outside and he was like, there's fucking army men out there. And I asked him the next day, I was like, were you fucking with me? Or did you? He's like, no, I honestly really saw them. So to this day, I don't know if you, I really think we both saw them. And that just creeped me the fuck out. Because it's very rare that you'll both see the same thing when you're tripping like that. And I don't know what it was about different kinds of ecstasy that made you trip. I think it was whatever had more MDMA in it, because the pure I had once, pure MDMA, which I guess is now called Molly, I had that once and I tripped while I was on that. I was with a group of my friends and the guy I was dating at the time, the guy I had eventually moved in with, and I think it was only our first or second time tripping together, rolling together. And I just felt like I hadn't trusted him yet completely. And I wasn't sure where this was going. I wasn't sure if I really wanted to be with him. And, he was eventually the guy who had introduced me to my painkiller addiction, which I've talked about in previous episodes. And there was something, I saw this kind of sickness in him because of that, because he had to take all these pain pills. And when you're on ecstasy, you sort of, you see the truth in people, or you see them exactly how you think of them outside of the role, if that makes sense. It's like the, it's hard to explain. I saw him just as this kind of sick person, and when the pure MDMA kicked in, he turned into Gollum, the guy from The Lord of the Rings, a really creepy little dude. And he just looked like him the whole entire night, and he kept looking up at me, and he had the Gollum face, and then he would just keep looking down like he was rifling through a satchel of some kind, and he just seemed like had this really nervous energy, and it just freaked me the fuck out. It just, there's something about ecstasy that makes you like see the truth in people. It just makes, and that almost like a warning sign, you know what I mean? Like, this is bad news, you shouldn't be doing this. Because ecstasy, it turns you on to your intuitiveness. It enhances like that tiny voice, your, you know, whatever you want to call it, your conscious or whatever. It enhances that, and it makes you see everything like that. It makes you see the good in people, and it makes you, and you can also see the evil in people too. And I really experienced that on Pure. Pure MDMA is the cleanest kind of high you can possibly imagine. If you've ever done ecstasy and felt that kind of lingering paranoia, or just felt dirty, I don't know how else to explain it. You just kind of felt like a little awkward, I guess, or just you weren't reaching that point. Like, you could never hit that wall of just bypassing that wall and getting through to the other side. I don't know how to make this make sense if you've never done it. But Pure, you're always just this clean, steady target, and it's just great. It's amazing. The whole entire time, you don't have any paranoia. You don't have any kind of dirty feeling. Everything is just amazing. So even though I saw him as Gollum, it didn't scare me. It didn't freak me out at the time, because I just felt so good. I felt so good. I was like, okay, I just got to get out of this situation. And you know how to deal with things. When you're on dirty ecstasy, you can kind of sink into that scarier side of you, I guess, if you want to say, if you're not with the right kind of people to bring you out of it. That's where you'll hear people talk about how they went crazy on ecstasy, or how they had a bad trip on ecstasy. It's usually happens at a rave where you lose your friends, you can't find anyone that you know, and it can be extremely scary if you've never done ecstasy before. So you always want to, this isn't like a PSA to go out and do it, but I'm just saying, like, you want to be around people you're comfortable with, or else you can, if you have bad ecstasy, you can fall into that, just like bad acid, you can fall into that bad trip, and it can do things to your mind that may not be reversible. So, okay, so I'll just tell you one more story. Last story was, another group of friends and I, got together one night, and this was more of a couples party, and I wasn't seeing anyone at the time. So eventually, by the end of the night, all the couples kind of went off and fucked each other's brains out. And I was on the couch with this dude who, I have to say, is like, he was like a mix between Nick Swardson and Joey Gladstone, if that makes sense. But he was hilarious. He was so much fun, because we played Army Men that night. Like, we put the couch on its side, and we would like pretend to throw bombs over it, and like, it was so much fun. Like, we had so much fun that night. He was just like really free spirited and wanted to do anything goofy. So I was like, I had this ritual where I would cut the tops of the glow sticks off at the end of the night when you're kind of coming down, and go outside and throw the glow sticks on plants and stuff, because it looked really cool. And it would just, like, be that last kind of, like, fun thing to do at the end of the night. So he's just still really a lot more fucked up than I was, because he didn't do it as much. So we're at a friend's house. It's not our house. And we cut the tops of the glow sticks off. And I'm like, okay, now we're going to go outside. And next thing I know, he's just all over the house, all over their nice wood kitchen floor, throwing this glow stick shit that doesn't clean up. Like, it doesn't just come off. This shit is stuck there for life. And I just remember the guy's face in the morning when he came down and saw this fucking acidy glow stick shit all over his kitchen. And oh my god. But that is just like, you would just do that kind of shit in the moment, you know what I mean, and not think about it. So I guess I've pretty much covered the gamut. Covered everything here. I hope that gives you a little bit of insight of what ecstasy is and what it can do to you. There's definitely some good times, and there's also some scary times if you're not doing it with the people that you can trust and really care about. And but I had a lot of fun. It got out of control because I was just doing it way too much, and eventually you stop feeling the effects from it. When you're doing it more than you have to give yourself, because you have to build up that serotonin in your brain again, because that's all it's doing. When you're on ecstasy, it's just releasing the serotonin from your brain. So you'd have to let that build back up. And when you're doing it 3 times a week, you're not getting the effects anymore. So I eventually just cut it off after a few years, and just, it was pointless because I was doing so much of it that it wasn't even having much of an effect anymore. And also, you fall into a huge depression after the roll, especially when you're not getting as much from it as you were in the beginning. You just fall into this deep depression because you're like, okay, I just spent all this money on ecstasy. I just did 8 pills last night and I snorted 2 of them and I barely felt shit. And then today, you know, I'm just in this huge depression because it's not working anymore. So it's definitely got its ups and downs. I just wanted to tell you my experiences with it. Some of the stories had just been coming back to me for some reason, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna share this. Hopefully someone will think it's entertaining. So that's my story, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.